know what to do with myself, hand gestures, that this lady is for turning. Turning on BBC Radio 4 for the new series of Dead Ringers, starting on Friday evening at 6:30. I made a small joke there.
Uh-huh. In 45 minutes' time, Front Row will be here, and this evening, the 70th birthday of David Edgar, the playwright, and women's non-fiction writing, as well as art in the aftermath of World War I. That's Front Row at 7:15. Now, though, on Radio 4, spot the subtle difference in the latest edition of Just a Minute.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, I'm Giles Brown, sitting in for Nicholas Parsons, who after 50 years non-stop at the helm, quite rightly thinks he should be allowed the occasional day off. So, as the minute waltz fades away, it's my privilege to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world, and to welcome four profoundly impressive personalities who are here to play Just a Minute, displaying their unique skill with words and language as they try to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. Seated on my right are Paul Merton and Josie Lawrence. Seated on my left, it's Tony Hawks and Sarah Pascoe. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me is my colleague Hayley Sterling, who's going to help me keep the score and blow the whistle when each 60 seconds has elapsed. And we're going to begin with Paul Merton. And Paul, your first subject today is a busman's holiday. Paul, tell us what you can about a busman's holiday in 60 seconds, starting now.
It was a phrase that first originated in the 1890s, meaning that somebody who does a particular form of work would then go on holiday and experience the same sort of thing. If we look at perhaps myself, when I was growing up, I wanted desperately to be famous and to be a comedian, and I realised that I would be gaining knowledge by looking at all the various comedic shows on television and radio, including Just a Minute. But once I started to appear on those mediums, my appetite for watching these things completely diminished. I suppose it's
Tony, you interrupted.
I think we should look up diminished.
Yes. Absolutely.
As a group.
You will find it in very poorly printed dictionaries.
So what's your challenge?
I think that's either a deviation or a deviation from the English language.
It is a deviation from the English language. You get a point for that challenge and you get the subject. So you now, Tony, have 29 seconds on a busman's holiday, starting now.
If you happen to be a busman, and let's face it, there are quite a few in the world, I would imagine, every time you go on holiday, you are, in fact, going on a busman's holiday.
Oh, sorry.
Josie, you've interrupted.
I was listening and my thumb just bent. Incorrect challenge.
Oh, an incorrect challenge. But should we be sympathetic because you're...
Yeah, you can give me a mark if you want.
Yes. I think
repetition of going on.
Yeah, going on.
It's a bit late now. No, Josie, I think you told us you had a bent thumb and it was that working overtime.
Yes.
So I won't take any points away from you, but I will let the subject remain with Tony. So, Tony, you've got 18 seconds left now on a busman's holiday.
I'm not exactly sure what a busman is. Would it be the driver? If you're fiddling...
And Paul thinks he knows.
It's the driver. Who else is it going to be?
Well, I was going to come to that.
Well, I think it's an interesting challenge. Yeah. And I think he deserves a point for it. But it could have been the conductor. It could have been that sort of a bus. Or it could have been a bus...
It could be a woman.
It could be a bus person. I think the whole thing is actually very dated. We no longer have busman's holidays, do we? We now have bus person's holidays. Yeah. Should we start the whole round all over again?
Now,
oh, no.
You're right.
Can I just point out this is the worst chairman we've ever had?
I thought you'd get to round two before you said that.
I lost patience.
Yeah.
Paul nonetheless gets a point for his interesting challenge, but we're not upholding it and we're letting Tony continue, and he has 13 more seconds now on a busman's holiday, starting now.
It's difficult to go on a busman's holiday if you consider yourself to be a comedian. What can you do? There are no comic holidays as such. I do not know how I would manage to achieve that.
Whatever the title. Congratulations, Tony. You get that extra point for speaking when the whistle went and means you're currently in the lead. Paul has scored as well. Josie and Sarah are yet to score. Josie, this is your big moment with your first subject. It is bucket and spade. What can you tell us, Josie, about bucket and spade in 60 seconds, starting now?
Call a spade, unless you give your spade a nickname, like Sandra or Spadey. things that you want to achieve, like a bucket list, but then you kick the bucket. Bucket and spade, but they are intrinsically linked for me because of my childhood memories. Remember going to the seaside? We always went to Blackpool, and there was this beautiful array of coloured shops selling nets and balls. And especially for me, the bucket and spade, painted so delightfully with pictures of starfish and little children playing and gambling in the dunes. These weren't plastic.
Oh, a challenge there, and it comes from Paul.
I don't think children should gamble.
They did in the 60s.
Don't think it's right.
They did in the 60s.
They're very addictive.
They did in the 60s, gamboling.
Oh, gamboling.
Yeah.
Yes, but no. You see, it was an ingenious challenge, but we do allow homonyms, which is that what
we
that
allow
was?
Homonyms.
We allow homonyms here.
Yes, absolutely.
So we give a bonus point there to Paul for an intriguing challenge, but we let you keep the subject, Josie. You now have 21 seconds left to tell us about bucket and spade, starting now.
Oh, the joy of running down to the water's edge with my father and building a castle out of the granules on the beach. I was so good at getting my spade and humping these granular concoctions into the bottom of my bucket, tipping it upside down and creating a most beautiful mound.
Well, there we go. Paul challenged you on gambling, but not on the humping. Hmm.
Only on Just a Minute would you hear sand described as granular concoctions. That's why I enjoy this show so much.
Well, at the end of that second round, Tony is still in the lead, but Josie and Paul are now neck and neck in second place. Sarah is yet to score. This may be her moment, though, Sarah, because this is your first subject. You've got 60 seconds to talk about this. The theory of evolution. That's right up your street. What can you tell us, Sarah, about the theory of evolution in 60 seconds, starting now?
Once upon a time, everyone was Victorian. It's not very fashionable anymore, but back then, everyone. And a man...
A challenge from Josie.
I'm sorry, repetition of everyone.
There was indeed repetition of everyone. You get a point, Josie, and you get the subject. You now have 53 seconds on the theory of evolution, starting now.
Apparently we all crawled out of the water and got legs and we were tiny little creatures. Then we grew bigger and bigger and Charles...
A challenge there from Paul. What's your challenge, Paul?
Too much evolution too quickly. bigger and bigger.
Repetition of bigger. Yes, indeed. So, Paul, you get a point and you get the subject and you have 45 seconds on the theory of evolution starting now.
I don't know anything about it.
Tony, you challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes. I think he deliberately hesitated to give you this special moment, Tony. So you get a point, a correct challenge, and you get the subject. Tony, you have 44 seconds on the theory of evolution, starting now.
Unlike Paul, I know a huge amount about the theory of evolution. Sit back, dust yourselves off, oil on your bodies for this pleasurable cruise down Knowledge Avenue. Charles...
A challenge there from Paul.
The hell of a pause after Knowledge Avenue. Felt more like a cul-de-sac from where I was sitting.
Also, I think if you're dusty, you shouldn't put oil on as well.
Look, I'm glad I was stopped. I was going nowhere very quickly.
I think the health and safety people give Sarah a bonus.
Yes.
For Paul, that was a correct challenge. You get the subject and a point. And now, Paul, you have 28 seconds on the theory of evolution. Starting now.
I find that since I last had the subject, I have completely evolved into a master of this particular knowledgeable field of science. Charles Darwin sailed on the Beagle to the Galapagos Islands and noticed the turtles, tortoises, and other sea creatures crawling over this landmass and thought to himself, I shall develop a theory of evolution. And what he did was he went home, bought the biggest book he could find and a pencil and started writing up straight away his theory of evolution.
Paul gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, and it means that Paul has now moved into the lead. And let's see what happens in this next round, which is yours, Tony. Oh, this is an interesting location. I don't know if you've been there recently or been invited to go there. Anyway, this is the subject, Windsor Castle. Tony, you've got 60 seconds to talk to us about Windsor Castle, starting now.
Sadly, I have never been invited to Windsor Castle, but our host for the day, Giles Brandreth, no doubt has. But isn't it lovely that he can't tell us about it? I enjoy it. What a pleasure that gives me. Even in the gaps in between, we'll cut him out if he tries to do it. So there isn't that wonderful news. But let's move on. Interestingly, the royal family's name came from Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. In 1917, it was considered too Germanic, given that there was a war going on. They changed it after Windsor Castle. I just think, isn't it good news that there wasn't a castle in Cockermouth? Because everything would have gone horribly wrong from them from then on. I would like to go to this wonderful place one day and see the Queen and say to her, why do you stay there at weekends when at Buckingham Palace you can go clubbing and come home drunk without having to get a cooper?
Oh, no! Josie interrupted with only 1 second to go.
I don't think I pressed it, honestly. I didn't.
Giles, I pressed. Josie says she didn't press.
I didn't press.
Oh, you really didn't press?
No.
You did press.
I did press.
You
yeah.
did press. So the
it
lights,
was hesitation.
It was hesitation.
It was hesitation.
With 1 second to go, Paul, you have a point for a correct challenge, and you get this subject, Windsor Castle, for 1 second, starting now.
Windsor Castle!
Paul is now in a princely lead, followed by Tony, followed by Josie, followed by Sarah. And Paul, the next subject is for you. As we begin the next round, Paul, the subject is daydreaming. Tell us what you can about daydreaming in 60 seconds, starting now.
Going back to the busman's holiday subject, I spent a lot of my teenage years daydreaming about being a comedian. I would imagine myself at the Michael Parkinson show and sadly even used to practice walking downstairs while humming his theme tune to myself. Daydreams can be a powerful force for good. You can imagine yourself doing all sorts of things that you yet don't have the courage to take on fully. Daydreaming. There was a song by the Loving Spoonful, which I can't sing because of lyrics. I was going to say the lyrics are repetitive, but I couldn't say that right.
Josie, you challenged?
Hesitation,
was you challenging?
Yes.
Hesitation, absolutely.
Yeah. A correct challenge. You get a point and you get the subject. You have 35 seconds, Josie, on daydreaming, starting now.
It's one of my favourite hobbies, daydreaming, because it's very therapeutic, like meditation. And I usually always forget my minicab guy to go the right way, because after a while, I'm always in this lovely reverie. And what's super about my daydreams is that I realised a few years ago that my dear departed mum and me daydreaming things the same. I'm actually getting my words mixed up, but nobody buzzed me, so I'll carry on. We both thought...
Paul?
She's getting her words mixed up.
And you gallantly came to the rescue.
Yes,
you
I did.
It was a correct challenge. She was hesitating. And you get 6 seconds with this subject of daydreaming, starting now.
As Charles Darwin looked towards the Galapagos Islands, he started to daydream about his theory of...
You'd already said daydreaming.
Josie tried to challenge you, but the whistle had gone. It was too late, and the score is too little, Josie. You're still in third place, but it's your round now. And the subject for you this time is the Wild West. Josie, tell us what you can about the Wild West in 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I tell you, I've been pretty wild in the Wild West, but we're talking about Dudley in the Wild West Midlands, and what stories I have for you can't really be repeated on Radio 4. But when I think of the Wild West, it's a romanticised version of that. You know, the town, the one-horse place where you hear the sound of the honky-tonk in the saloon and the banging of nails as the coffin maker makes his coffin, and suddenly someone...
Paul's challenge.
Coffin.
Is coffin maker... Well, is that two words? Because it was a repetition of coffin, as it is.
What is your challenge?
A repetition of coffin.
of coffin.
Coffin maker making
I
his
coffin.
I reckon
coffin maker
coffin
is two words.
Coffin would be hyphenated. Coffin maker
yes.
is hyphenated.
Yeah, okay, fair
so
enough.
So I think she gets away with that.
Absolutely.
So she gets an extra point and she keeps the subject. It's the Wild West with you, Josie, and you have 34 seconds left starting now.
The thing I remember most is the tumbleweed going down the dirt track and the way everybody kept quiet when a stranger entered town. The sheriff would always be there. There'd be a duel, there'd be gunshots. And that's all I know about the Wild West, apart from the fact that there were some very real people, like Annie Oakley.
Tony Hawks has challenged.
Is there a repetition of people?
Yes, there was a repetition of people. We had people earlier on in near West Dudley.
Now, did we?
It seems a long time ago.
It seems it escaped everybody else.
Did we have people in West Dudley?
I seem to remember
people.
I do seem to remember a people.
Okay. He's a very good chairman, I think. He's doing a terrific job.
Well, it turns out that I'm a people person. And people-friendly and Tony Hawks friendly, so you get that extra point, Tony, and you get the subject now. 15 seconds on the Wild West, starting now.
I like to dress up in cowboy clothes and take myself down to the Wild West bar in my little village in Devon. And the people there, they come up to me, they say, Tony, you are an asshole of the biggest and the highest.
Well, at the end of that round, the score, Paul is still convincingly in the lead, but Tony is catching up with him in second place. Josie is doing very well now, and Sarah is waiting for her big moment, which is almost upon her, as we give you your next subject, Sarah Pascoe.
Okay.
You've got 60 seconds to talk about Miss Marple. Miss Marple, tell us what you can about Miss Marple in 60 seconds, starting now.
Nobody knows why Miss Marple decided not to get married and become Mrs. somebody else's surname. Instead, she was interested in going around the country solving crimes. Her favourite misdemeanour to solve was murder, which is when someone is dead on the floor and no one admits it, and you have to collect clues from people in... Longer than last time. That's longer than so long.
A very impressive 37 seconds, but Paul Merton has interrupted.
There was a hesitation there.
Undoubtedly, Paul, you get a point for that, and you get the subject for the remaining 37 seconds on Miss Marple, starting now.
One of the first Miss Marples to hit the screen was Margaret Rutherford, who always appeared in her movies with her husband, Stringer Davis, who played relatively small parts. Now, if you were a friend of Stringer's, you might well say to yourself, why are you always in the same cinematic entertainment as the woman you married? And he would say she wants the company. And also, I'm a character actor in my own right. When you see Miss Marple striding across Murder at the Gallop, that was one of the films that she made, there were
Oh, Josie has challenged.
Hesitation.
Absolutely.
There was hesitation. And maybe even a touch of repetition. But that was a correct challenge, Josie. It was indeed hesitation. And you have 9 seconds left with Miss Marple starting now.
I was in a Miss Marple for the telly called By the Pricking of Your Thumbs. The murderer turned out to be one of my favourite actresses, June Whitfield, who actually acted...
And Tony has challenged.
June Whitfield wasn't the murderer.
Yes, she was.
No, she wasn't. She's an actress. She'd be in prison if she was a murderer.
She was the murderer.
No, no.
It was a character called June Whitfield, played by Greta Scarkey.
Game, set and match to Josie Lawrence. You don't just get a point and allowed to carry on. You get a bonus point for your deep knowledge of Miss Marple.
A bonus point for lying?
No. She's explained the character was called June Whitfield, played by Greta Scarkey.
She's getting a bonus point for remembering things she's done in her career. That's fair enough.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, you've convinced me. You've convinced the listeners at home. I'm still giving you that extra bonus point and the benefit of the doubt, Josie. You have got 1 second left on Miss Marple starting now.
Oh, we had such fun.
Can I just clear that up? Because I know that the real June Whitfield listens to this show and loves it, the actress. And
I know her very well. She played
And was
my
she playing
mirror.
The part of the murderer in this?
She was playing the part of the murderer.
So, in fact, you have just deceived us. You've taken advantage of my naive
yes,
game, my innocence.
Yes, but June would have wanted it that way.
Ah.
You're now listening to The Moral Maze.
And at the end of that round, we have Tony still in third place, Josie now in second place, Paul still with the lead, and Sarah still to score a little bit more than she has so far. Tony, it's your subject now for this next round. Bungee jumping. Bungee jumping is the subject. You've got 60 seconds to tell us what you can about bungee jumping, starting now.
I like to take the bungees that I have to strap things to the top of my car, lay them on the ground, and then jump over them. It's an extraordinarily dangerous activity, but I do it for hours on end, much to the fascination of the people who live near me. Once...
And Paul has
I
challenged.
I very much doubt that. What the hell is he talking about? He puts the bungees on the ground and jumps over them.
Yeah, I jump over them.
So what is your challenge, Paul?
Well, it's... Well... I didn't understand what he was saying, but now it's been explained to me, I feel as if I've evolved into a better human being.
Yeah, I don't think it's a justified challenge. He was using... He was talking about laying it on the floor before he did anything with it. That was right.
That's right.
Setting out the kit.
Well, I jump over the bungees...
What are the bungees?
Well, they're the things you strap things to the car with, those little hook things.
Are they called bungees?
They are called bungees.
Oh, now I understand. You were being humorous.
That was an incorrect challenge, Paul. So, Tony, you get an extra point and you keep the subject. You have 42 seconds left on bungee jumping, starting now.
I am on the Victoria Bridge between Zambia and Zimbabwe. A man hands me a bungee. Go for it, he says. I strap it around my waist and leap off. It's the most extraordinary sensation I've had since someone pushed me off the bridge at...
And Josie has challenged.
Repetition of bridge,
yes.
I'm afraid.
Correct.
Yes.
Repetition of bridge it was. So, Josie, you get an extra point and you get the subject. And you have 21 seconds left to tell us what you can about bungee jumping, starting now.
If somebody said to you while you were at home, look, I'm going to wrap some elastic around your ankles and push you off the banister, you wouldn't say, oh, that'll be fun. And yet people spend a lot of money going to these places and throwing themselves off ledges and bridges. Bungee jumping apparently began years ago as a kind of torture where they wouldn't...
Congratulations, Josie. You get a point for speaking as the whistle went, and it means that you have now moved into the lead, just ahead of Paul Merton, who is just ahead of Tony Hawkes, who is a little bit ahead of Sarah Pascoe. And, Paul, it's you next. And, a topical subject here. The best thing about a wedding. Paul, tell us what you can about the best thing about a wedding in 60 seconds, starting now.
I suppose the best thing about a wedding is being part of the married couple because all eyes in the room are upon you. You feel the love emanating towards you from all your guests as they look fondly on you and your bride, if you are, in fact, the bridegroom, and you are the centre of attention. You have the ability to mix with everybody you've ever met in your life who is still around, who come up to you with great big smiles on their faces, giving you presents, and also...
Oh, and you've been challenged by Tony Hawkes.
I'm going to go back. I don't think you would meet everybody you'd ever met in your life.
Who is still around, as I said.
Well, what about somebody in a post office?
So what?
I'm very generous with people I invite to my weddings.
Everybody you'd ever met, is that what I'm picking
what is
up
your,
on?
What is your challenge?
Deviation.
Deviation, but it's a general theme. I think he meant everybody he has met, like all his friends and family. I would accept that, you know, as a kind of turn of phrase, which is acceptable. We're not looking for the literal truth here, Tony.
It's a difficult judgment, and you're doing terrifically.
It's
well
a difficult... Well, can I say I'm going to give you a bonus for perspicacity there.
Oh, thank you.
Because you understand the quality of the judging here.
A bonus.
But I'm leaving the subject.
A bonus for Purpose Cassidy.
David Cassidy.
Yeah.
But Paul keeps the subject and he gets a point for an incorrect challenge and he's got now 36 seconds left on the best thing about a wedding, starting now.
And as you step out into the future together, looking forward to your honeymoon, waving goodbye to all the well-wishers who have attended the event, you turn to your loved ones and you say, we are going to spend the rest of our lives together. And so you set off to the Galapagos Islands or perhaps the Victoria Bridge between Zimbabwe and wherever it was, and you see Tony Hawk's being pushed off a bridge and you cut the rope at the wrong moment, and suddenly he plunges down deep into the sea where he meets an octopus and they get married.
Tony quite rightly has challenged.
It's not the sea under the Victoria Bridge between Zimbabwe and
Zambia. It's all water.
It's a river.
There was a whole host of deviations. No. You're completely right.
Oh, you're thinking of the Victoria Bridge you were on.
Yeah. The one and June Whitfield.
And June Whitfield.
You mentioned Zimbabwe, so it was clearly in that part of the world.
That's true.
So that was a correct challenge. Absolutely. Congratulations, Tony. You get a bonus point for that, and you get 9 seconds left on the best thing about a wedding, starting now.
The best thing about a wedding is clearly the dancing that goes on by old men who hear Bee Gees songs and think they're super hip, and they throw...
Well, this is extraordinary. As a result of that round, we now have three people in first place. Tony Hawkes, Josie Lawrence, Paul Merton, all in the lead. And Sarah now, happily, in second place. So you've really moved up. Yay! As we reach the final round. And Sarah, the next subject is for you. Oh, this is one that we're close to the sort of thing you understand and know about.
Okay.
Mars. Mars is your subject. You have 60 seconds to talk about Mars, starting now.
He walked into the newsagents. He didn't know what chocolate bar to buy. He perused all of the options. I'll go for that one, he thought. I'm the god of war. That's the perfect snack for me as I go off into space to visit the fourth planet, the reddest one. It's dusty, so warm. I hope this bar doesn't melt when we arrive there because I'm starving. I've got diabetes. My sugar levels have plummeted to lower than the atmosphere and the spaceship is run on my happiness. So this is very dangerous for everyone in the solar system. What will happen if I crash in Dudley, which is a place I love to go bungee jumping because it's such fun with those things from the car that I've never heard of before, but that's why I keep them, just for fun and war.
She was almost there with an epic performance on her debut on Just a Minute. But Paul, you did challenge. What possibly could have been the challenge?
Well, there was a hesitation after war. Yeah.
There was a slight hesitation. I concede that. Following the repetition of the deviation, I suppose, one has to concede that point. So well done, Paul. A legitimate challenge. You get a point for that. And you get the remaining 7 seconds. Starting now.
As I walked across the red, dusty surface, my eyes looked up to the skies. I could see only one more object.
Well done, Paul. And that means at the end of today's game, we have in third place Sarah Pascoe, in second place tied Josie Lawrence and Tony Hawkes. But today's winner is Paul Merton. So we say thank you to these four feisty, fabulous players of the game, Paul Merton, Josie Lawrence, Sarah Pascoe and Tony Hawkes. And it only remains for me to salute Hayley Sterling, who kept the score and blew the whistle. We thank our producer, the mighty Matt Strong. We're indebted, as always, to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And most of all, we're indebted to this wonderful audience here in the BBC Radio Theatre. It's been fun sitting in for you, Nicholas. Thanks for giving me the benefit of the doubt, but come back soon. Until then, from all of us, thank you very much for tuning in and be with us again when we next take to the air to play Just a Minute.
Just a Minute